Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
She's got bleach chat.
The hideaway is open tonight.
I licked at it or whatever.
You know, you've got quicksand. It's that the equivalent is made out of dicks.
It's banter. What do you think about Brexit?
What's that?
Does that mean we won't have any cheese?
In our episode,
it's wild how few notes I have for these last two episodes of Love Island compared to how many notes I have for the one episode of Vanderpump that we get to talk about today.
I mean, like, literally same. Literally
like,
same.
Why?
I know. I mean, I know we have been very diligently avoiding talking to each other about this these episodes of
Which
Love Island.
Which is hard because we're in a group chat where it's being discussed.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just feel, this is the one thing I said to you, but I'll repeat it, so deeply underwhelmed.
Yeah. I'm bummed because I was like trying to be like, the first week always sucks. And then I was like, see, the second week was good. And then it was just kind of like plateaued. Like it didn't necessarily go downhill. It's just never got
there. Yeah. I was thinking on this a lot today because I knew we were going to be talking about it, trying to like, I guess, analyze the situation basically, because we as a populace have been wanting an all-star season of Love Island for so long. People have been like, mm-hmm. do all-stars. And they do it. And it's just like not that good.
Yeah.
And I want to take a couple minutes to speculate as to why. What are our theories on why this fell flat?
I think a 5-week season, first of all, is harder to have things happen. And, you know, again, I know that I've said throughout the season, but we already have context and like history with all these players. So we're able to still have some like developed storylines, which is the case. But I feel like they just didn't always clue us into those storylines.
Yeah.
Which like that's not what you want from the show. This is like Big Brother. Like you want to feel like you're a part of it, not like you're an outsider looking in.
Yes.
And I think that they did not do a good job of that this season. It could have been longer. That could have made it better. But, like, I still wouldn't be thrilled if this is where we were at. Oh, I don't know. Actually, I do think maybe I would be okay with the season if this was week 5 of 8. And, like, we were going to get a Casa Amor and, like, 3 more weeks.
Yeah, I just don't think Casa really works in this context. Like, I get why they didn't do it.
You can bring back – like the Casa players could all be like previous Casa bombs who were like hot and sought after and then never got brought back to the main villa.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Just because – yeah, you're not – what I think what you're getting at is you're not going to get this level of players to go in as a Casa bomb.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think my biggest gripe is that the All-Stars on a whole – not everybody, but on a whole – were just like not that good. They just like weren't that exciting. They were not able to get the caliber of all-star that we wanted.
I agree. I totally agree.
Like, we needed Chloe. We needed Ovi. We needed Amber fucking Gill. We need these people mm-hmm. who have, like, absolutely dominated this game. And they gave us Casey and Tom. I'm kidding. Mostly, I mean, I gave Tom my MVP for his season, but
yeah,
still, it was
did
like
we both.
I don't think you did. Did you? I don't think you did.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure mine was like it was like the hottest take I probably ever had.
I don't know about that,
but fair. No, I just, I don't know. It's just like Georgia Harrison, like Joanna, like nobody really cares about these people. No offense to you guys if you're listening, but like. It's just not the level that we desired.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think that a lot of them were from earlier seasons, which like I love as being mm-hmm. a fan that has watched every season of the show. But I also think that that can lose the audience a little bit, like the newer audience, like because you don't know these people, which it defeats the whole point of an all-star season. And then the people you do know who are mm-hmm. more recent are like people you don't necessarily like because they were on recent seasons and are not in like – relationships obviously because they're coming back on the show, so like you're not maybe that's not it. I don't feel good by the way if you can't tell from my voice.
Oh,
I want to get into VPR corner, but I actually have something else to discuss with you that is unrelated to, well, not unrelated to the show, related to the show in the way that it is a very British thing that's happening.
Okay, amazing.
Have you seen this whole like Kate Middleton is missing thing?
Yes. What do you I think? Have I've only just begun to dip my toes in this.
I know, me too. And then I've seen all these tweets that are like everyone jumping on like the Kate Middleton is missing bandwagon. Now we've been doing this for like 9 months or whatever. And I'm like, holy shit.
Like January. They've been doing this since like mid-January.
Yeah.
Because, okay, she's been missing since Christmas. Or missing. She hasn't been seen by the public since Christmas.
Right.
I saw this thing about like William's letterhead being different and how she like. It was reported she went through like abdominal surgery. People are like, she's in a coma.
Some people think that she had, you know, plastic surgery. There's like, I've seen so many funny tweets about like Kate Middleton coming back with a BBL to like.
Right. Yes, I've seen that. I've heard that she might have gotten a hysterectomy, which would have been interesting.
Oh, that would be very interesting, especially if the palace hit it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So I don't.
Wait.
What?
Did we find our answer? I don't know. Is Newsweek reliable?
Reliable? Let me Google that. Is Newsweek reliable? I don't think it's super reliable.
Okay, well, I'm seeing this in multiple places.
Okay.
From the past one day. I think
generally
this is
reliable.
Okay, yes, this is Vanity Fair. This is legit. Okay.
Okay. What is it?
Palisade shares Kate Middleton post-surgery recovery update. She has been out of the public eye since news of her planned abdominal surgery in January. It is interesting that they're like making this statement literally as it's blowing up on Twitter. Like, of course.
Right.
So, like, yeah, the other thing that I had seen is that Prince William had been scheduled to deliver a reading at a memorial service.
Right.
And then he didn't show up and attributed personal reasons.
Right. Right. That was like the letter situation thing that I saw as well.
Yeah. They are just saying abdominal surgery. What if it is a hysterectomy? I hope it is. Stop like creating errors for that bloody, bloody throne.
That's a fact. That's a fucking fact.
Anyway, the reason I bring this up, other than, you know, we have UK listeners and you're probably like, shut the fuck up, you Americans, is I just saw this tweet that I died at. Kate Middleton is at Schwartz and Sandy's.
Oh, my God.
And on that note, Mara.
Let's do our VPR corner.
Yes.
These are the best days of our lives.
So the episode that we're talking about today is the episode that aired on the 20th.
Yeah.
I want to say it was the third episode of the season. I don't know. But it's the episode that came out on February 20th. And we kick our episode off with Ariana and Katie talking about – this was crazy – about this Lyft driver that drove them home from emo night and how the Lyft driver was like, I recognize you. I recognize this house. I've dropped you off here before. You were fighting with your boyfriend, like, about some girl. And she was like, it was the Lyft driver from the fucking night.
The Lyft driver. I was like, what the fuck are the odds of that?
I loved the ITM, like, the fourth wall breakage of, like, this Lyft driver has no idea how many people want to talk to him.
Yes. Yes. I appreciated that so much.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
So then we're getting ready for this pool party at James and Allie's.
Yes.
And on the way to the pool party, Sheena and Lala stop by Villa Rosa just fully in their bathing suits.
Right, right.
Meet, of course, a new furry friend of LVP's. And then, of course, get emotionally manipulated by LVP to not have a Potomac situation where the cast of the show refuses to speak to each other.
Right.
There's been so much online about this and about how is Tom using his mental health in a manipulative way? Is Lisa, like, what is your take on this?
I mean, I obviously, I don't want to, like, just assume that Tom is lying. He does, as we've all discussed, give me terrible vibes. So, like, it wouldn't shock me if he, like, kind of did. I think the more likely scenario is that he is playing up how mentally ill he actually is. Mm-hmm. He's probably like, I'm really sad that everybody hates me now because of this terrible thing that I've done.
100%.
But it, and is like, God, nobody wants me around. I should just fucking end my life. But is not actually thinking, like, how am I going to go about killing myself? Sorry, right. I should unalive myself because
it's called passive suicidal ideation. I ask people about this.
Exactly.
Every day. No plan or intent.
Exactly. You got it. You got to check for plan and intent. And having that kind of ideation is not inherently bad. Like, you should probably talk to someone. You should get support.
But you should obviously take it very seriously the moment that you start thinking about a plan or having intent.
Yeah. But, like, a lot of people have ideation at least once in their life.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
We haven't gotten any clarity. I do actually – I appreciate you bringing this up because I feel like we don't know – what these thoughts are. It's just like Lisa projecting onto Tom, like, the trauma that she went through with her brother. But also, I think it's like half that, half literally trying to just emotionally manipulate the rest of the cast into accepting him back into the group so that they can continue to film the show.
No, I totally agree. I think Lisa's projection is a great point too. I think that she's doing a lot of projecting and he's allowing all of that to occur.
Yeah.
Like, he's not shutting down any of her wild assumptions because her brain is going left.
Of course,
and he's
not.
Like,
because
go left.
Yeah, he knows how much power she has in this group.
Exactly.
And he knows that if she's on his side trying to get people to accept him back or, you know, just be nice to him or ask him about his fucking suicidal ideation, whatever, like, that's only going to be a good thing for him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just have to say, I don't like how Lisa is handling it at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lisa is like, guys, go easy on him. And it's like, this is 3 months after the fact. Like, no one's really going at him.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Exactly. It's like she's adopting this mindset that he has of like, well, I apologized once and like you guys have been giving me shit. So like it's just over as if like all of that takes away what actually happened.
Yes.
Also, I'm having a thought as we're talking about this. Do you think that there's also a piece of it that she wants for them to start being friends with Tom because she knows that then Ariana will cut them out and then that's going to be dramatic and they're probably worried about the show being canceled again?
I mean, I definitely think she wants them to start being friends with Tom so that the show does not get canceled.
Right. But she knows. I mean, Ariana made it very clear at the end of last season in her conversation with Schwartz that she will not have mutual friends with Tom.
I know. I think Lisa's probably hoping that Ariana will get over that.
Yeah. So at a certain point in this conversation, the last note that I had about it was Sheena is crying, like, of course she's like very vulnerable to something like this and probably like feels bad for Tom because that's just the kind of person she is,
right?
And she's like, okay, but is like trying to form a relationship with Tom worth losing Ariana? And I wrote no.
Right. Like, no, it's not. No.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, I wanted to say one thing before moving forward, that her new dog Donut is really cute.
Her new dog Donut looks like all her dogs.
That's true, but still really cute. And also, I thought my first note was LOL at James hosting and spending a bunch of money. Relatable.
Oh my God. It was amazing because I had just watched fucking Beverly Hills, where Kyle threw her annual white party at SoFi Stadium, and they did the little graphic pop-up of like, budget for this party $400,000, and then hearing James be like, I spent so much money, I bought a grill, I spent $2,000, I was like, yeah, that's more relatable to me.
exactly. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, at his party we see James, and then one time Schwartz, and then James again and again and again jump off of his roof into his pool.
Right.
He's drinking this like weed drink.
Yep.
Doing little weed DJing drinks in the corner. We see Lala have a conversation with Allie, being like, do you know why James decided to get sober this time, and do you think he would tell me? And at this point, I actually loved this episode for Lala. Like, I think that this was maybe my favorite Lala episode of all time.
Yep.
At this point, though, I was like, why? I feel like Lala is always like grilling James on his sobriety, and I feel like it would start to grate on me. But I don't feel that way anymore, actually, after actually seeing the conversation that they ended up having.
Right. I liked how Allie was like, I'm not going to share that information, but like, feel free to talk to him about it. I thought that
she's honestly too good for this show. Like, she might be too good for this world.
I know. She seems like a good person.
Yes.
Like, I can't believe James ended up with someone like that.
I know.
But like, she seems really chill. I would be friends with her.
100%. I would love to be friends with her. We would love to have you on the podcast, Ali. I'm
sure that would be amazing.
Everyone wants to have her on their podcast. But no, I totally agree. She handled this perfectly. Lala was like, well, do you think that he would talk to me about it? And she was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, but you should ask him.
Right. Yeah. I said I love Lala. I love seeing her growth, and I love to see the effects of effective therapy.
Yes. Okay. So then we see a conversation with her and Schwartz that actually destroyed me.
Yeah.
Did you feel like he was hitting on her?
No, I feel like he was very distinctly trying not to hit on her.
Exactly. But in a way that made me feel like he is into her.
I don't think he's into her.
Okay, so here's what happens. Lala is just being very like vulnerable and open, and she's very much getting to this place in like her journey of being like, I can't just be angry and be like so impacted by my trauma. I have to learn how to forgive and, you know, move on.
Yeah.
And not have these trust issues and all that kind of stuff. So then they're kind of making up. They talk about their fight that they had last season, and Schwartz is like, I'm so sorry, like, for saying anything about your lips. Like, your lips are beautiful. You're one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. And he goes, and I mean that platonically. And I'm like, I think she knows. Like, I just feel like that didn't need to be clarified. Oh, he's also talking about, like, seeing her as a mother and how beautiful it is. And it was just, like, a really sweet conversation, honestly. But then he says something about, like, oh, you know, that was the moment when I fell in love with you as friends. And I'm like, again, just like, if you didn't say that, it would be less weird to me.
Maybe he does secretly love her.
I listened to Lala's podcast about this, and her podcast producer, or whoever does her podcast with her, was like, I thought he was hitting on you. And both her and her brother were like, no, it's really more just that he is like feeling accepted and like it's seen, and like was just probably like really enjoying like that conversation, which I do think is the case.
I could definitely see that being the case. That's very Schwartz, like that very like love, peace and love, baby. He's very hippie.
I know. And then he goes, whatever you're doing right here, like, is amazing. Like, can you show a little bit of this to Tom Sandoval, please, as well? Like, I can't help it. I love Schwartz.
He's definitely growing on me this season.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how long that lasts.
I do find it annoying that he keeps like trying to distance himself from the affair.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to be complicit, but he was.
Exactly.
So, gotta own it too.
Exactly.
One thing we didn't talk about is Tom in the spa with Billy.
Those are my next notes. So the
got it.
Really, only I have two notes on this. Number one is, LOL at Billy Lee being back because yeah. of how desperate Tom Sandoval is for friends.
Yes, 100. I wrote, ew, Billy, LOL.
Yes. And then my second note is just him, like, in the water. And she's like, how is it? And he goes, it's really intense. I was like, ugh. And, like, cold plunge is intense. And then he, like, puts his head under the water and she's like, 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 chill the fuck out, you two.
Her watching him do the cold plunge was the weirdest part for me.
I thought she was going to do it. Maybe she didn't. They just didn't show it. But
maybe.
Why was she there?
I don't. I mean, they're spa day for the girlies. I don't know.
So weird, Mara.
My main note for this was Sandoval hates not being the number one guy in the group anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's eating him apart inside.
Yes. 100%.
Actually, I think this is a good segue. So one thing I definitely wanted to discuss was Tom in this episode talked a lot about Raquel and mm-hmm. communicating with her and the lack of communication he had gotten from her recently, mm-hmm. how she like re-upped her stay in the upped her stay there at mm-hmm. the treatment facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how he basically is like envisioning this world in which they're still together.
Yes.
And I am sitting there like, do you actually want to be with Raquel, or do you just think that being with Raquel is the best way?
Is going to absolve you of image. The wrongdoing.
Yes.
Because it's like the best image for his way forward. Each other.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's what it is. And I actually yeah. wouldn't even be surprised if like he fucking knew that they were like broken up and he's just like trying to pretend like she's ghosting him or like make himself yeah. the victim in this storyline so that he can maintain that stance of like, well, I was doing all of this because of love and because yeah. of the connection that we had. But obviously she wasn't doing it for the right reasons, and then kind of like shift some of the blame back onto her.
1,000%. And I have no doubt in my mind that Raquel feels extremely betrayed by him as well.
And also like, I mean, I get that, you know, that maybe at this point they knew that Raquel wasn't coming back. But why is Lisa not worried about her? Like, out of the two yeah. of them, which one of them was just in a psychiatric facility for right. 3 months?
Right, right. One of them is literally seeking treatment and one of them is not.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. The correct thing for Lisa to do with Tom would be to make sure that he's set up with the correct psychiatric treatment that he needs, not to guilt the rest of the group into being nice to him so he doesn't kill himself because they're going to regret it if he does.
Correct. That's correct. Yes.
The last note that I had, I already discussed, which was just I actually did not hate this conversation with James and Lala as much as I expected to. And I love their friendship. Mm-hmm. Again, this was, I think, yep. a shining, beautiful, glorious episode for Lala. And I really hope this is the Lala that we get for the rest of the season. I think it will be.
Yeah. I also said that I would love to see James and Lala's compatibility chart for friendship.
Mm.
I feel like their stars must be very aligned. I'm sure Ali is.
They're soulmates of some kind.
They feel like soulmates to me. I agree. You know,
before I watched the show, I always thought that James and Lala were a couple, and like obviously they tried for a second.
Right.
But because I just would always hear about James and Lala, James and Lala, James and Lala.
Yeah. one last thing I wanted to talk about was a conversation that Sheena has with Ariana in the pool about Tahoe and Sandoval right. and everything that Lisa said.
Yes.
So I actually really totally understood where Ariana was coming from with this
mm-hmm.
because Ariana is like, listen, I just had the glass shatter for me, and everything that Sandoval does is to benefit himself. He's like manipulative and he's doing everything just to be trying to get included again because that is all he needs. He just needs that. I mean, we all as people need like human love and interaction, mm-hmm. but he, rather than just being like, fuck this friend group, I'm going to go be friends with all these other people because I need love and care and attention and these people are giving it to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's still trying to fight his way back into this specific friend group because, A, obviously the television show, duh. But also because he feels like that would, A, probably like absolve him from his guilt, like you said, and just like he'd be getting what he wants.
Right.
So, like, I totally understand where Ariana is, like, I know him best, and I am having to, like, rethink everything I knew about this man.
Right, through a different
you
lens.
You know? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
100%. And I also just think, like, honestly, even her being included in this conversation, I think Sheena should not have brought it up in this moment. She was obviously still really emotional about it and like hadn't figured out how she wanted to handle it. And that's not something I would even put into Ariana's space. Like, but I also would never put into Ariana's space this like thought of, hey, like we're gonna have to step in and like take care of like this motherfucker that like literally destroyed your life.
Absolutely.
Because like Lisa wants us to. I would be like, fuck off.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My last comment, we don't even have to discuss it, is for Sandoval to pretend that he wouldn't have also cashed in on his castmate's pain is a fucking joke.
I mean, he's like, you talked about it on your podcast. Guess who's talking about it on their podcast now? Tom and Raquel.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Wouldn't exactly. you?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I agree. Okay, so just a little bit of business. As always, we have some exciting content coming up for y'all in the off season. We're probably going to do at least one Gather Around the Fire Pit episode with another little podcast, and then you might catch us on their podcast if they can convince us to watch a scary movie.
We said we would. We just have to pick which one.
Okay, they've convinced Mara that we'll be watching a scary movie. Please remember that we're re-releasing our Love Island Games episodes every Monday until we run out, LOL. Yes, and we did actually do a double release this past Monday of both our cast breakdown and our week one recap. So go check those out if you haven't already, and all those episodes are streaming on ITV or Peacock. And then we will be doing some quick reality TV corner episodes as well for you on Thursdays. And yeah, please rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. As always, share with a friend. Do all the things that we ask you to do and beg you to do and pray for you to do when we go to sleep at night.
Yes. And our first reality recap pod episode will be out next Thursday.
Yes.
Let's chat.
So we are starting off with episode 35, and it's the morning. We see a chat between Georgia Harrison and Anton. She says that she has been making more of an effort recently, and he acknowledges, recognizes that, appreciates that effort. She says that she feels like she can't make him happy, and he says that he felt really rejected, kind of was like an I was triggered excuse regarding their fight the night before.
Yeah.
And he apologizes and says that this fight was on him. Then we see our co-ed chat. Arabella shares that the hideaway was awesome and she loves that Adam has a serious and a playful side. And then Adam shares that he likes that Arabella does not take herself too seriously.
Doesn't take herself too seriously. Have you seen those TikToks?
No.
Damn. Okay. It's like a dating app thing. Like there's always like a bunch of clips of dating apps of guys who say on there, I want a girl who doesn't take herself too seriously. It's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right. Yeah. What does that mean?
I'm a piece of shit.
I'm unimportant and unserious. I'm just like.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Don't love it. No. I don't feel like Arabella feels that way at all. I actually do think she takes herself very seriously.
I completely agree. She definitely takes herself seriously.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Anton is in the kitchen telling Toby that him and Georgia Harrison are just a couple that bicker. It doesn't mean it's a bad relationship. He says during this conversation, everything is enheightened.
Is that what he said?
Everything's enheightened.
Enheightened.
Uh-huh.
Baby boy Toby. Oh, my God.
No, Anton.
Anton.
Anton Whoops. Says everything's enheightened.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Then we see Jess and Arabella chat. Arabella says that she's catching feelings for Adam. She feels like a little schoolgirl, feels like he's the male version of her. Another dating platitude that trope. Is that a trope? Yes, that I do not understand. Yeah. Actually, it's not even like a dating thing. It's really just a Love Island thing, as far as I
know.
That's true.
Like,
would you ever say that Lucas is the male version of you?
Fuck no. He's definitely not.
Would you want to be with the male version of you?
No.
I wouldn't either.
I think that would be kind of miserable.
I would be
I love myself.
Exhausted.
Don't get me wrong, but it would be exhausting.
It's exhausting enough being me. You think I need more?
Exactly. I exhaust myself. I don't need another one exhausting me.
We see the boys in the bedroom talking, and Anton is, of course, talking about his mommy and how important her opinion is, and says that if she does not like Georgia Harrison, that it's over. So we now see the previously dumped Islanders returning to the villa. They're very somber. They are all talking about how serious they look, and they're each holding a chalkboard with their already written answers of what couple they want to dump. We can talk about this more when we get into them going through it, but this was obviously done by producers.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia Harrison now gets a text, Gottfie, and they are alerted that the ex-Islanders will be voting on which couple to dump from the villa, and the couple with the most votes will be dumped immediately.
Yes. So going through each of these votes, Mitch goes first. He says that this couple is one-sided, but both people are game players. He picks Georgia Harrison and Anton.
I just feel like of everyone, like, of course he came back and was messy. Like, no one else said shit like that. Everyone else was just like, this couple hasn't had enough time to develop their connection.
Exactly. Yeah. He was like, nope. Here to make a mess, more of a mess, all the messes, etc. That next is Demi. She says this couple just doesn't have as much longevity. I think she meant time in the villa.
Yeah.
But she ends up picking Arabella and Adam. Chris is next. He says he doesn't think this couple has a strong enough connection to last outside. He picks Georgia Harrison and Anton. Kaz says she questions this connection, picks Georgia Harrison and Anton. Lewis says that this one is one-sided, and he thinks that there's a potential connection elsewhere. He picks Molly and Tom.
This to me was the producer's last ditch effort to be like, oh, well, we couldn't get, you know, like the family to break them up and get Molly and Callum back together. Maybe we can get Lewis to do it. But they didn't even have a recoupling after this. So I'm like, what are you doing?
I know. It's weird. It's also like the show is literally almost over. Why would they pivot? That would harm everything that they've set up.
And why are you trying to fuck up your two most popular couples?
Right. Right. Literally. Exactly.
Bad at job.
Yeah, bad at job for sure. So Tom asks why he thinks that this is a one-sided relationship, and Lewis says,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That he sees a connection with Callum and Molly.
So then why didn't you choose Callum and Jess?
Right, right.
Because they're the newer of the two couples.
Right, exactly. I don't know, because Callum's the golden boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Liberty is next. She says that this couple doesn't have longevity. She picks Arabella and Adam. Tyler is next. I read the word Tyler and I thought, who? He was on there for so short of a time.
I was like, I felt Tyler? That way when I saw Jake come back into the villa. I was like,
dude,
oh,
yeah.
Right.
I forgot about Jake too. So Tyler's next. He says that he loves this couple, but the rest of the couples are better suited. He votes for Georgia Harrison and Anton. Hannah is next. What was the outfit that she was wearing? It was this like teal blue situation.
I didn't even notice it, but I'm not shocked to hear it was something bizarre. Oh, wait. Might it be a good time to mention that when I was in Costa Rica with my brother and sister-in-law, we did ask about a few things, like just questioning, hey, did we get this right about the UK?
Yeah.
I said, what is the stereotype of a Scouse woman? And it is pretty much what we were expecting, like very high maintenance, but they said kind of like trashy, like not classy, more on the trashy end, which I would say Hannah fits into. And then I showed them, I was like, yeah, we're talking about her. And they were like, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. I'm here for it. It feels very Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, well, well, I don't know, maybe I just feel this way because of Geordi Shore, but I feel like Newcastle right. is the like Jersey equivalent. But yeah, I feel like definitely both. The other two things that they said are that they did not know who Olivia Atwood's husband was, so he must not be that famous. Confirmed. Okay. And then they said that Loose Women is very much like The View.
Nice. I love it. I love to be right.
I was like, great. Okay. Confirmed.
Right.
No. Yeah. Nothing that we had to change or say, oh, sorry that we said the wrong thing. Just confirmation.
Exactly.
We're always right as we assumed we were.
We were right in our assumptions.
Yes.
So Hannah says that she feels like there are stronger couples here and votes for Arabella and Adam. Jake is next. He doesn't think that this couple will work on the outside. He votes for Georgia Steele and Toby. Joanna says she hasn't seen enough of this couple. She votes for Arabella and Adam. Casey says that there are big characters in the villa, but he doesn't think that this couple will last. He picks Georgia Harrison and Anton. Eve is next. She says she feels this is the weakest connection. She votes for Arabella and Adam. And Joe thinks that there are stronger couples here, and he votes for Arabella and Adam. So Arabella and Adam get the most votes, and they go home, and the Islanders say goodbye.
Were you surprised that not a single person voted for Callum and Jess?
Yes, very surprised.
Me too. So surprised.
They have been together almost just as long as Arabella and Adam.
Exactly.
And I don't really think that their connection is that much stronger than Arabella and Adam.
No, I don't think it's as strong, in fact.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously this is just like a popularity contest. People felt like despite Georgia Harrison and Anton not being like a strong couple, they've had more time in the villa. Therefore, they were more worthy of the spot in the final.
Yeah, but it was very close to them going home.
It was
one
yes.
vote away. Yeah. Definitely. And then I also was surprised that Georgia Steele and Toby didn't get more votes than they did.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That was interesting.
So we now see Maya sit down with Adam and Arabella. And Arabella is like, that was savage. They brought up that the reasons that the other Islanders were giving or the dumped Islanders were giving to send them home felt like cop-outs. And people were claiming that because Adam was new, he should not be up there, even though they were Arabella's friends who were voting for them as a couple. So Arabella just felt kind of betrayed by that. Mm-hmm. She says that there are other couples in there who should have gone home. And of course, Maya asks who. She's such a good host. Mm-hmm. Adam says Anton and Georgia Harrison, and that he questions their romantic side. And Arabella agrees, says that she feels like her and Adam, even though they haven't been together as long, have a stronger connection. Maya then goes through Arabella's whole journey. Arabella shares that she liked Chris's humor and felt like his head turned really quickly to Sophie when she came into the villa. She was shocked by Toby's choice to couple up with Georgia Steele. Adam says that they'll spend time together on the outside and take it at a slow pace or at their own pace. And then nighttime descends upon our villa, and we see a chat between Josh, Tom, and Callum. Josh says that he doesn't think that the right couple went home, and of course thinks that Georgia Harrison and Anton should have gone home. And I'm like, just fucking drop it, Josh.
Right. Yeah.
I was like I was so annoyed by this.
I know. It was really annoying. He won't let it go.
No. Even though it's like he sees how much it hurts her, and he's like, well, I'm just saying what everyone is thinking. Mm-hmm. And he just refuses to stop talking about it. And it's mm-hmm. like, you don't have to say it. In fact, she's asking you not to say it. So just right. stop.
Right.
Callum says that if it came down to compatibility, he does understand why Georgia Harrison and Anton should have been the ones dumped. And then we see a chat between Molly, Sophie, and Jess, also sharing their surprise that Georgia Harrison and Anton did not go. Mm-mm-mm. We now see Georgia Harrison and Anton chat with Georgia Steele and Toby. Harrison says that they had a bad day, of course. She felt that Mitch's opinion was off key.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that some of the other points that were made were fair. Her and Anton both agree that they have questioned the relationship themselves at points. And Georgia Steele says that it's okay that they argue, they don't walk on eggshells, and that's important.
Right.
Georgia Harrison and Anton now chat alone, and she says that she genuinely cares about him. Anton is like, it's super unfair how people have perceived our journey. Georgia Steele and Toby chat individually now. She says she's loved up, and Toby doesn't really care about other people's opinions about them.
That was funny when she asked him and he was like, honestly, I don't care. She's like, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
I was like,
she needs him.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Molly, Sophie, and Jess then chat, and they bring up Lewis saying that Callum and Molly should be together. Molly calls this a cop-out answer. Georgia Harrison and Josh then have a chat, and Georgia Harrison says that in hindsight, after hearing everyone else's opinions, she can see that Josh wasn't trying to cause any harm by sharing that people doubted them. Josh says that he was just trying to say his opinions and share that others had the same one. Josh says that he was trying to warn Georgia, saying that she should be careful, which was kind of silly. Georgia Harrison then says that she was shocked that so many people had this opinion, and then she apologizes to Josh. He says he appreciates it, and they agree to be friends again.
I hate this.
I know. I kind of hated it, too.
She was like, you're right. Like, other people did feel this way. Like, I'm sorry. And it's like, yeah, but he's still been a shitty friend.
Yeah, he was still a dick to her about it.
Yeah, and continues to talk about it even this day.
Exactly. Toby then gets a text. They're all in the final. The Islanders jump in the pool. This is our final baptism. I wasn't sure if we were going to see another pool jump later because I wasn't sure if they were going to do declarations of love, but they did not. So nope. This was our final baptism. And then that moves us into episode 36, our finale episode. We see all the Islanders partying. Maya enters the villa. And then we are cut into our live showing. Maya introduces us to all the finalists. She sits down with them. She asks if Anton and Georgia H. manifested being here. And they said that they both manifested finding a person. Maya then tells Georgia Steele and Toby that fortune favors the brave. Toby says it was a risk that paid off. Maya asks Callum and Jess what it's like to be coupled after being on the same season from before. They said that it was an unexpected journey, but they are both happy. And then Maya asks Molly and Tom how they both feel. They're both happy. She asks Josh and Sophie about how they're doing because the public put them together. Josh says, thank you to the public. This is pretty cool. And then we see the Islanders in the morning before the final. Georgia Steele gets a text. The Islanders will be experiencing a VIP All-Stars pool party. Very fun. They bring in Ella Henderson. She performed on After Sun for one of the finals, I don't know, like a season or two ago. I forget which one. She does a couple songs. She does her big one, React. She sings Ghosts, which I just wanted to only mention because I sang that in my post-collegiate a cappella group.
Maybe they'll bring you in next season.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Producers, sure, if you're listening, Mara would love to perform in the villa. And I can tell you, she puts on a great performance.
Thank you. They can bring in, they can bring in my karaoke team, One Trick Ponies.
Oh, yeah. Bring in the whole team. I mean, I'll be there as well. I won't be performing, but I will be with the Islanders. Vibing.
Quick plug, by the way. Do you mind if I plug something, Ari?
No, of course.
One
this
Trick
is
Ponies,
our platform.
I know. This is our platform. One Trick Ponies has a TikTok. You can find us at One Trick Ponies 7. If you want to follow along, I've been posting videos from our last season, and then I'm going to slowly start posting videos from this current season.
The reigning karaoke champs of what, Maryland?
Of Baltimore.
Okay.
So we didn't win districts my first season, which was last spring, but we won in Baltimore. We got first place in Baltimore.
Got it.
But then, yes, but now we're reigning champions of the DMV, I guess, technically.
Right. Yeah, that's bigger than just
so,
Baltimore. That's
right.
Huge.
Yeah. And we're in first place right now, so we're obviously killing it. Anyway, Ella Henderson does a little shout out to Anton.
Yeah, she's like, I've loved watching all of you, especially you, Anton.
Yeah.
I wondered if that was a little bit like, call me if it doesn't work out.
Oh, maybe.
We see Callum and Jess chatting, and she's sharing how much she likes how he's handled himself in the villa and finds him to be extremely emotionally intelligent. You know what's interesting is that, like, I actually do think that both Molly and Callum seem very emotionally intelligent and, like, just generally mature, but I did not fucking feel that way in the beginning of the season. I was like, these people cannot communicate or, like, express their needs at all to each other. So maybe they just don't bring out a good side of each other romantically.
I agree.
Molly and Tom now chat, and she shares that she really wants to introduce Tom to Nellie and meet meet each other's families. By the way, they did split up their dogs. I think that's confirmed. I like read something about it on Reddit.
Wow, that's tough.
Which makes me think there had to have been a conversation between them before they came into the show about, well, no, actually, no, that doesn't even make sense. Maybe not.
Yeah, they might not have
known. Because she does say later that she didn't know that he was going to be there, and I thought that was a lie. But I do feel like it means there had to have been a conversation after the video from home where she was like, I saw Nelly. Like, don't you think you would do that?
Probably. Maybe. Yeah.
Toby and Georgia Steele now chat. He says that he wasn't sure how their journey was going to go, but they do have a good foundation. Georgia Harrison and Anton chat. She says that she feels looked after by him and is scared to meet his mom. Josh and Sophie now chat. They talk about how they can build on what they have created in the villa, and Georgia Steele makes a toast. We then see Maya walking around, talking to some of the Islanders. She chats with Mitch and Hannah, asks Mitch, who has been the messiest Islander since he left, and he says Georgia Steele. A true honor for Georgia Steele.
Totally.
He's like, she's brought the entertainment. Very true.
Yeah.
Mitch says something about trying to get back together with his ex.
Yes. So he says it's a lady in Blackpool. My first thought was like, where is Abby from? But it's some girl named Kate or Katie.
Oh.
They posted about it on TikTok. And I was like, this is like a commoner.
Who
like,
the fuck
why
cares?
Would I care? Yeah.
Sorry, Kate. We'd love to have you on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please tell us everything about Mitch.
Yes. Maya talks about Hannah's outfit and she calls herself a swan.
Right? She's wearing this like glittery white number.
She shares that her DMs have been popping off since coming off of the show. And then we move on to Kaz and Liberty. Liberty shares how much she missed Kaz. Kaz says that she's also enjoying her DMs right now. Liberty says that her DMs are dry, but she's like, I prefer to meet people in real life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then she chats with Demi and Lewis, and they share they're still seeing each other.
I know.
Maya's like, has anyone else been hooking up? And Lewis says, probably a few will tonight.
Where's that tea, Lewis? I need to know.
I know. Can we circle back around on that? I task Lewis and Chris.
Who do you think would have hooked up that night?
Chris and Joanna, maybe?
Yeah, I was wondering maybe Chris and Joanna.
Although I think that's still very one-sided. We'll talk about that right now. So yeah. Maya now talks to Joanna and Chris. Asks about Callum, and Joanna is like, now... Joanna says that there's nothing going on with Callum, and he's happy with Jess. She asks how Chris is, and Chris is like... Me and Joanna are still talking. Chris apparently sent her flowers on Valentine's Day. And Maya asks what the next step in the relationship is. They're like, maybe a date. They want to play Mario Kart. I felt like Joanna was very much like, no. And Chris was very much like, yes, we're going to be together.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a little awkward. She seemed slightly more into him during this conversation. But I still felt like he was being really awkward about it.
Yeah.
Also, I keep forgetting to bring this up, but Joanna. So Joanna was the one who coupled with Michael in season 5 from Casa. And Chris and Michael are like best friends. I think they might even be roommates.
Oh.
And so I was wondering if this was at all weird.
I mean, I think that's very weird.
Yeah, especially because Chris was like, I've had a crush on her for 4 years.
Right.
So, like, since Michael and Joanna broke up, I guess?
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes indeed.
So, Maya now reveals that in fifth place, which, by the way, very weird that we had 5 finalist couples. This whole season just, like, was weird and not well done. But in fifth place, we have Georgia Harrison and Anton. Maya asks them when she is interviewing them on the little couch who the loudest kisser really is, and Anton says it's me. Anton says that Georgia Harrison always stood out to him and that they're enjoying things. Maya then asks Harrison about her journey, and she's like, I had history with 2 people who came in. She wished that she had handled it better, but she really just was trying to follow her heart. I thought there was like terrible vibes during this whole conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
Maya brings up how Georgia Harrison had the ick, and she's like, I'm not really used to relationships moving so quickly, but getting to know him better helped. And then Maya asks about the villa questioning them. And Anton is like, well, Georgia Harrison like was in a really rough place. She was actually heartbroken coming in here.
Oh,
and
this is brutal.
Georgia Harrison is like, can we not talk about that? But it's live TV.
Yeah, it was so awkward.
It was really awkward. I think she's going to be mad at him about that.
I agree.
She then talks about Josh and how she felt like he didn't have her back, but it's been sorted out. And we see a little montage of their time in the villa together.
Maya then reveals the couple in fourth place is Georgia Steele and Toby. She sits down with them and they both say that they're happy. She asks how Georgia felt when Toby wanted to be open. And she says, I was upset, but it allowed me to get to know other people. And Georgia Steele says that when Toby picked her, it changed a lot for them. And then Maya asks about Toby's time with Arabella and picking Georgia. Toby says that his head was all over the place at the time and he wanted to take a gamble and go straight in. Georgia says that she was shocked and it took a lot of time to process. They both say that Chris and Kaz had their backs and the fallout was really hard. Maya then asks what locked in means, and Toby says that family is big and we can't be boyfriend and girlfriend without meeting families. They say that they're stronger now than they were coming off of games. They imply that lightly without really explicitly stating it. And then we see a clip of their journey. Maya then reveals the couple in third place is Josh and Sophie. Sophie says that they felt like they got along from the get-go, and then Maya asks about the Joanna situation. Josh says that they were just open. He totally avoids this question, does not really give Maya anything to go off of here.
No, Maya because then, what he needs to talk about is how he was telling them different things. That's
right,
the problem.
Exactly. Maya then asks how Sophie got past it, and Sophie says that he's apologized and made up for it, and they've grown together. Josh says he probably should have talked to Georgia Harrison on the side instead of railing against her for days. And then we see their clips together in their journey. Then Maya sits down with the final four. She talks to Jess and Callum, and she asks why he chose Molly when he first came in. Callum says he felt like they needed to have a conversation. He does not regret picking her.
Side note, they're sitting next to each other on the couch, like Jess, Callum, Molly, Tom.
I loved it.
And Callum and Molly just like are in the final together. Like that's what happened. They both carried their couples. The public fucking loves them.
It's crazy. I don't get it. It's so fucking crazy. Maya then asks Callum about Georgia Steele. Callum says he wanted honesty and he felt that she wasn't being straightforward. Jess says that Callum is a good person. It was unexpected, but everything happened naturally. Maya then brings up the calls from home. Callum says it's hard for people to see the friendship with an ex, and he says that people want the fairy tale. It just doesn't always happen. Maya then pans to Molly, and Molly says that the situation forced them to get along. Then we see Jess and Callum's best bits.
Maya now talks to Molly and Tom. She asks Molly what she thought when she saw Callum, and she's like, I didn't expect to see him. I thought I was coming in as a bombshell, and then I saw my ex's head, and I was like, what the heck? She asks why a rekindling did not happen, and Molly shares that she was adamant about getting to know other people, and she felt like things with them were just not aligned. I think this is true. Tom really likes Callum, and he's like, I know this is weird, but he's like one of my best friends in here.
Mm-hmm.
Maya asks about the competition and just kind of tension that was between Molly and Georgia Steele. And Molly says, no, it was just weird sometimes when she got to know Callum. Maya brings up the stuffed dog. What did she say?
Maya just brings up the fact that Callum was the one that picked out the stuffed dog for Molly on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
I
Someone
felt
needed
like
to say it.
This is just the last example of this season feeling really staged to me where I'm like, how would she have had these conversations? Because the Molly and Callum conversation is so connected. How would she have had these conversations if they weren't the final two couples?
Yep.
It would have been a lot less natural.
I totally agree.
Like,
I totally agree.
I just think they were going to be the final couples. I don't know. I just, for some reason, I'm just not having an easy time like buying into this season or
with you.
Like I'm a part of it.
I definitely agree with that. I do feel like I don't know. I was like force fed something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Molly says that she was super confused when her and Callum getting back together kept coming up in the video calls, and she assumes that it's just because people could see them getting along as friends and thought that that meant they should be together. And then we see their best bits. We see some messages from home, and Maya reveals that the winners of Love Island are Molly and Tom.
Great.
You're going to have to put a clip of that on your on our Instagram because, yes, that is the correct response. Like, I don't give a fuck. I was spoiled. I saw this on Twitter, and I was like, okay.
I saw third place, and I was being so diligent not to look at my phone, like, before I watched it.
Uh-huh.
And I totally forgot, and I opened my phone to Instagram, and right in front of me was third place. I was like, fuck! But I was like, okay. It was Josh and Sophie. I was like, fine. I never thought they would win. But I was still like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't care. But congratulations, Molly and Tom. I hope you have a very long, happy life together. I'm sure you won't. So our final stats are Molly and Tom got 35% of the vote, and Callum and Jess got 33%. That is actually fucking insane. It's tight, but that also means that almost 70% of voters voted for Molly and Callum is how I'm viewing this.
We need to have a serious conversation with the UK.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this podcast is. Guys, get your shit together.
Come on, guys. Do better.
I literally can't.
I just need to know. I always ask this. I need to know why. My response is always, they like them. And fine, I get it. They're unproblematic. But that's not, like, fun to me. I agree.
I totally agree. Sorry to say it, but the UK likes Molly and Callum because they are nice, unproblematic, white, pretty people.
Yep.
Moving on. Josh and Sophie got 15% of the vote, a huge drop. Georgia Steele and Toby got 10%, and then Anton and Georgia Harrison got 7%. So basically, like, the one couple that everyone hated and, like, not hated, but, like, just did not believe in their relationship. And then the two couples that included a person of color got, like, literally a third of the votes.
Yep. That's rough.
And there was apparently 1 million viewers for this finale episode.
It's the lowest it's ever been.
Because it was bad. So let's just not do this again. Honestly, friends, let's just go back to our classic summer season.
One summer. Yep. Yeah.
I think it's time.
Like, listen, I get big ups to USA. They killed it with games. I want to keep seeing games. Please keep doing games. Give me summer, Love Island UK, USA. Give us games in the fall. Give us a nice little winter break. And then let's get back in it in the summertime.
Please. I agree. And we appreciate the experimentation. We appreciate you trying to do different things. But at a certain point, it's just not working. And it's fine to go back to what is tried and true.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay, Mara. Well, let's get into our season-long awards.
Let's fucking go. Ari, who is your MVP?
My MVP of the season was fucking Georgia Steele. I know Georgia. People think she was toxic. She was toxic. She also made the entire fucking season about herself. I considered giving it to Molly or Callum, but I think it's exactly what you just said. They're not fun. I didn't have fun watching them. They just, like, did well on the show. I had so much fun watching Georgia Steele.
Yeah. I was originally going to give it to Callum just because he, like, found a way to get second place by doing just being deeply unproblematic.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'm giving it to Georgia Steele because even though that's going to be a hot take, she fucking carried the show.
She did.
She gave us so much drama.
Think about what it would have been without her. Like, this season would have been unwatchable without Georgia Steele.
Like, literally.
Yes.
Literally. Yeah. Literally. I thank her for that. Good job. You're loyal to us, babe. Definitely Georgia.
We're loyal to you, babe.
Yeah, we're definitely loyal.
Who was your most toxic Islander of the season?
This was a really tough one. I'm going to give it to Mitch. Because I feel like I walked away from this season kind of really, truly seeing his toxic side. Yeah, his toxicity. What about you?
I gave it to Josh. I do think Mitch is not a bad choice. I just think Josh was fresher in my mind, and it really, really turned me off how he handled the Georgia Harrison situation. I would be really hurt if I were her. I hope she gets out and sees it and doesn't forgive him like she did in the villa. I mean, I'm sure that she will, because she just seems like an enlightened spiritual being who once did blackface. But
oh God, yeah, let's never forget that.
No, but yeah, I hated it. Hated it so much, and hated how he handled the Sophie and Joanna situation. For that reason, he was my most toxic. What was your most shocking moment of the season?
Had to be Toby picking Georgia Steele. Because that felt out of fucking left field. I was truly left with my jaw on the ground. I wanted more. Mm-hmm. Was that yours as well?
Yep.
What about your LOL moment of the season?
I am grateful for my natural long hair.
That's good. Oh, that's a good one. I struggled with this one, actually. I picked It's Not Like I Hate the Girl. Because that really gave me quite the chuckle at the beginning
that
of the season.
That was literally the fucking first episode. That shows you how bad this season was.
I know.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, let's quickly go through some of our predictions for how long these couples are going to last. And I'll tell you right now that I don't have a single one over 3 months.
interesting.
So,
a couple.
Let's do it in order. How long do you think that Georgia Harrison and Anton will last?
I'm changing this. I wrote 4 months. I'm going to give them 2.
No peer pressure.
No, not because of peer pressure, because just looking at it again, I was like, why did I give them that long? I don't think it's going to last that long.
Yeah.
What about you? What'd you give them?
I gave them 1 month.
1 month. Okay.
I think that's enough time for them to be like, we're not going to break up right away and prove everyone right. And then eventually, very soon, break up.
Yeah. Next is Georgia Steele and Toby. How long did you give them?
2 months.
2 months. I gave them, you're going to think I'm insane. I gave them a year.
I think you're insane.
I think that they're going to be together.
Yeah. I hope so.
Toby seems like he's fairly monogamous. He was with Chloe for a while. So I'm going off of that track record.
How long do you think Josh and Sophie will stay together?
I gave them 8 months. I think I might be a little generous with that, though.
Okay.
But they are official. We did see online that they are official.
Rochelle came out and said that, Sophie's sister, right?
Right.
Yeah.
How long did you give them?
3 months.
3 months. That's safe. Okay, what about Callum and Jess?
3 months.
3 months. I gave them 1 month.
Yeah, I could also see that. I just think that they're both like so boring that they might just enjoy each other's company for a little bit longer and like not have anything break them up. And then they'll eventually be like, why are we even doing this? I don't know who you are.
Yeah, fair. I just feel like Callum is going to get those DMs and be like, hello.
He's going to be like, looking for a number 17, 18, 19, and 20.
Exactly.
I guess maybe Jess could be 17. So 18, 19, 20, and 21.
Right.
Okay. And finally, how long do you think that Molly and Tom will stay together?
3 months.
Yep, same.
Same. Yeah, I don't think they're going to last.
So, in other words, we don't think any of these couples are going to last. The season was a waste of our time, and do better, ITV.
That's a fact. That is a fact. Thank you guys for joining us for this little finale recap. Yes. We're going to be back with you. Yes, with you and for you on Thursday. We will be having technically Monday, we're going to be re-releasing our games, our second episode from games. But on Thursday, we're going to be releasing our first Reality Corner recap. We're going to be covering Vanderpump Rules and Traitors and a little bit of Bachelor.
Yeah. So please tune in for that next Thursday. Thank you for sticking out this season with us. We love you all, and we cannot wait to chat next week.
Chat with you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us at She's Got the Chat on Instagram and TikTok. Rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Can't wait to chat next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.